Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where do you think he's going to be progression-wise?
Yeah, really, it'd just be based on, you know, how he's making out, how he's feeling. This is the first step, more of a non-contact morning day skate, and just gradually escalate the physicality and practice and one-on-one stuff and see where he's at. So, you know, no set date, just how he progresses will get us to where we need to go.
You got 4 games left before the break. Kind of, is it possible he could get in one of those?
My initial response is probably not. But you never know how a guy can progress. You know, was out there for a while with him yesterday, and then, you know, him skating today. I think, you know, that the easy skating part, the shooting part, the non-competitive part, you know, looks good. Just got to get in that hard compete and see how his body reacts to it.
What would you like to see from Connor Clifton as far as, you know, just the way he adapts to the system, I guess?
I've liked him. The other night he actually was a late... I mean, I can just share this. He was going to play, and he was sick. Yesterday's practice, still, he wasn't feeling very well, but practiced and was more like a half speed. So, like, again, he'll be out. We've had that bug going around. He's lost quite a bit of weight, and so I think sometimes you look at scratches, you think it might be me, but sometimes it's not me.
you're playing Nashville tonight, and ordinarily it's a Western Conference team, whatever. How much has it changed that you're playing them again in a week? You might take more from this game into another game that's a week away.
I think you can always use, you know, when you're playing an opponent that you don't play very much, you can always use that previous game. I think they use it, we use it. I think you get a handle on their special teams. You're playing quick back-to-back. You know, how aggressive they want to forecheck, how involved, you know, a fourth guy is on the rush. And I think, you know, that's the area we looked at this morning was, you know, you've got a Brady Shea and you've got Yossi and you got people that are getting up ice that, again, are a little bit what we practiced yesterday of not giving up that once we get in the zone, that second layer of opportunity to the other team.
What's it mean to you personally, to the team, to be honoring Rob tonight?
It actually means the world to me, because here is a guy that on most nights doesn't get rewarded for what he does. But for what he did for all his teammates is something that in the era he played was so important. If you look how he started out in the minors, you know, what he did, how many times he had to fight, and usually that fighting isn't for him. It's the fighting is always for teammates to create and I've said it, to create where there's comfort for your other guys can operate. And it might be somebody that stirred up something that Rob would have to go take care of, and he didn't have to be asked. He knew what he had to do. He knew when to do it. He did it. I mean, because he knew, you know, why and when, he did it for a long time. I mean, you look at his career, pretty impressive. And he's got a lot of teammates that can just say, thanks, Razor. I appreciate what you did. That doesn't mean he was the first star of the night or the second star a lot of times. But he was definitely a key player.
As we get to yesterday and, you know, kind of piggybacking on those, what are your memories of the Toronto goal? Is this a moment that stands from that series? It was so unlikely for the guy who did it, and the camera pans to you, and you're laughing on the bench. I mean, what do you think?
I'm so excited. I mean, you know, you've got to enjoy. I mean, it's a moment that you thoroughly enjoy. I mean, I'll share this with you. The other night, I got caught clapping after Oopie saved 2-0. Because it was so impressive. Well, I just got caught up in the moment. I just went, you know, stupid play on our part, and here's the goalie that makes an unbelievable save, and I was standing there just clapping like everybody else. For Razor to get rewarded and, you know, and get caught in that big moment was, and just, you know, his reaction, it was, I mean, it's one of those moments you'll never forget. It was, I always find that those guys that, you know, don't get in that moment a lot. When they get there, it's something you got to enjoy.
What about that role? I mean, the game has evolved. That role isn't really around anymore. Why do you think that role kind of went out of the game?
I think it's where the game has got to, that the high-level skill, the high-level speed, that every team has injected more and more players that you don't have to answer the bell. Just ignore it. I mean, that is where the game has kind of got. The intimidation, you don't have to answer it. If before, you know, in the era back there, if you didn't answer the bell, you were called, you can make up whatever name you want, or you were chased off the ice. Now it's not automatic that you, I mean, this is a team thing now. You want your guys to look after each other. You all in on plays where you need everybody all in, but it, you know, that part has disappeared, Paul.
Rough as he is, as an exterior that he has, a lot of people know him as a softy at heart. What do you make of that? What do you make of the two sides of that?
I've been around a lot of those guys that are exactly like that. I think it's his understanding of what his job was, you know. Let's use another one of his, you know, teammates or a guy that he's been around a long time. Let's use Larry Playfair. Same. Larry's probably one of the nicest guys you could be around. The Razor, same thing. But did they understand? They understand what it meant to do their job, and when to do it. And, you know, I think there's one thing to be a good player. I'd rather see the guy be a good person first. And Razor was a good person. And Larry was in the same category. He was probably the reason I lasted as long as I did in the league was I was around a guy like that when I first started. Because I was getting beat up a lot. But I knew I had support. And I think Razor's teammates felt the same.
Didn't you have to center a line with Larry?
I did. You know who the other winger was?
Al James.
Yeah.
You mentioned Rob going into the minors.
Hell of a line, eh, Paul?
You mentioned Rob going.
You know who we were playing?
Boston.
Yeah.
Shoe bottom.
Yeah, they had all kinds of. I mean, that's what the game was. I felt pretty good out there.
You mentioned Rob going to the minors and sort of.
I read a comment. Yeah, I think Brad Park, somebody said, no, that line's not out here to score. Oh, God. That's how the game has progressed.
Speaking of progression, like you mentioned Rob being in the minors and making his way back up. If you look at Luke Shen on the other side of the ice tonight, at 700 games, he gets demoted to the AHL, comes back, hits 1,000 games. 1,000 games is kind of one of those things where, from the outside, it's appreciated, but on the inside, within NHLers, it's like a huge accomplishment. Can you touch on that a little bit in respect to also being sent down in the middle of that to the AHL and making your way back?
Well, I think it's a determination by a player, especially in his case, where the league has basically said to him, you know, we think you're done. And he resurrected whatever he did. I have no idea what he did, whether it was fitness, whether it was you can make a determination that, you know, my career is on the downhill, I've been demoted to minors, and okay, this is it. Or you can just say to yourself, is there something I can do to get back? I think he said something to himself to say, I'm going to get back. Whether that's fitness, whether that's I'm going to become a better skater, I'm going to train differently, whatever that is. He made that decision, and you're right, 1,000 games is a lot. You look at the number of games Razor played, that's a lot of games. Incredible, really. But any player that hits 1,000 in the game has done a lot of good things to get there.